Art, come on up here. Life. Asked Senator Baker and Ambassador Hartman, three of us together comprise the delegation here. We've just come from a meeting with the General Secretary. For the second time in 15 months, it's been my somber duty to convey the condolences of our President, President Reagan, and of the American people to the family of a Soviet leader, and to wish a new leader well in the major responsibilities ahead. I want to take this opportunity to thank our hosts for their generous hospitality and their kindness to us in this time of mourning. We had a useful and constructive meeting with General Secretary Chernenko this evening, just now, and as we leave Moscow, our thoughts and prayers are turned toward the future, turned toward the cause of peace. I did deliver a letter from President Reagan to the General Secretary. I won't go into its contents in detail, but I can say that it conveyed the President's determination to move forward in all areas of our relationship with the Soviets and our readiness for concrete, productive discussions in every one of them. I welcome the General Secretary's statement to the Central Committee yesterday that the Soviet Union is for the peaceful resolution of all difficult international problems by means of serious, equal, and constructive negotiations. I told him that this is precisely our approach as well, and that we too want deeds, not just words. And I stress the particular importance of real results in reducing nuclear weapons, resolving regional disputes, and improving human contacts and cooperation. Let me direct a few parting words to the Soviet people and the Soviet leadership. The Soviet people should know that like them, like people everywhere, the people of America are peaceful people. We in America share your yearning for lasting peace, for peace that one day may not need armies and missiles to keep it. The Soviet leaders should know that we are serious and steady. As President Reagan said in a speech just this past Saturday, we should find ways to work together to meet the challenge of preserving peace. Living together in this nuclear age makes it imperative that we talk to each other, discuss our differences, and seek solutions to the many problems that divide us. No one underestimates the seriousness of the differences between our two nations. And progress won't be easy, won't be quick, but we understand our own basic needs and those of our allies, and we acknowledge those of the Soviet Union. We are dedicated, committed to arms reduction and to peace in all regions of the world. And after our conversation today with General Secretary Chernenko, I'm going to report to the President that he agrees about the need to place our relationship upon a more constructive path in the true interest of peace. I am rushing off to the airport, but I'll be glad to take a few questions. Well, it's in 30 minutes. I don't think it's easy to claim that, but I cannot speak for authoritatively for Senator Baker and Ambassador Hartman, but as we compared notes coming back in the car, we felt the mood was good. We felt the spirit of the meeting was excellent. We are grateful to the General Secretary and Mr. Gromyko and others who were there for that tone that signals to us that we can build from there. So there's no specifics that I can give you, but we felt generally very, very satisfied with the meeting. Yes, sir.
Mr. Vice
President. Right here.
Did you think the voice is concerned with this area?
Well, I'm not going to go. I'll violate my own rule by not going into specifics relating to that particular area, but I'm not going to go into points of what was or wasn't discussed. I've just never done that. I feel that's the host, in this instance, is their prerogative, so I'm sorry I can't help you, but no.
Vice President Stuart Lurie from Cable News Network, was the mood so good that you would recommend to the President that he have a summit meeting with his community?
Well, it's way too early for that, but certainly the mood was devoid of polemics. Clearly, Mr. Chernenko spoke from the heart when he welcomed us, sent his greetings in a very warm way to our president, and so I'd leave it at that.
Mr. Vice President, Bob Pellet, Newsweek, you had a meeting 15 months ago with Yuri Andropov, after which you said the atmosphere of the meeting was good, there was an interest in constructive dialogue, and yet the relation deteriorated seriously after that. What do you think will be different this time, if anything, after a similarly positive meeting with the new General Secretary?
I'm not sure, but I would hope that matters would move forward on a wide array of subjects. We happen to feel, frankly, that prior to this meeting, the meeting with our Secretary of State and with Minister Gromyko offered some promise to it, the one in Stockholm. So I would just like to see a continuation and a stepping up of contacts that will result in solving various problems. But I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're asking me. I was just responding to a direct question. Yeah.
Axel Banker, Journal of Commerce. Mr. Vice President, you said you favored more contacts and communications. Would this include, say, more business, economic contacts? Could you describe what you meant, and perhaps...
It would include contacts in a wide array, and certainly culture and business and all that kind of thing would be welcome. Yes, sir.
Might it include Moscow-Washington air communications?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait, but there's plenty of subjects to discuss out there, a wide array of them. Yes?
My name is Don Kimmelman. I'm from the Philadelphia Inquirer. How did Mr. Chernenko strike you personally? What did you feel his grasp of the issues? How did he strike your command?
Well, he obviously was ran the meeting with full authority. He looked very well and was very gracious. And beyond that, it's hard to draw conclusions in a very short period of time. But there's no question that he had was running the agenda, responding without notes at the end, and clearly. Self-assured in his dealings with us.
We have time for about two more questions.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Vice President, Eric M. Biff from Time Magazine. Was there any acknowledgement of the conciliatory words spoken by the President in his speech a few weeks ago?
Well, again, no specifics, but the tone of it, and I think our fellow delegates would agree, the tone, the way in which the whole relationship was discussed was very temperate, very reasonable, and whether that's reflective or not, reciprocating for what we feel was a similar tone, President Reagan's approach, I don't know. But I think it's fair to say that there was nothing there stated in any way to antagonize, nor to, now that isn't to say that both sides didn't recognize we have some fundamental differences. And we got them out there and quite frank about it. But your question relates, I guess, to the tone and the mood, and again, it was very positive. And that we cannot fault. Hard to make any judgments. I really can't say yay or nay on that. We couldn't draw such conclusions from what we had there. Now we got time for one more. Who hasn't had one? Well, you can have one. You got two. Go ahead.
Mr. Baker, have any comments, may I ask?
That's the best last question I've ever heard. Thank you all very much.